I'm Daniel Chacon. Welcome to another edition of Words on a Wire. Today, I have in the studio with me two guests that are doing some amazing things for art, literature, and El Paso.
And the pursuit of happiness.
And that is the pursuit of happiness, yes. I have Don Shapiro. That was the voice of Don Shapiro. He is a local businessman. And I have also Valentin Sandoval. Say hi, Valentin.
Hello.
He is a poet. You probably know of him if you listen to our show, because we had him on the show when his first book of poems came out, which was called South Sun Rises. And he is also a filmmaker. We're going to talk about a project they're doing together, Power at the Pass. But first, let me give you just a little bit of background on Don Shapiro. He was born in August 1927. That makes you about 30 years old, I believe.
Exactly.
How old are you, sir?
Triple 30.
You're 90.
Yes. I'm a World War II veteran.
Wow, that's amazing. You must take care of your brain and your body because
My wife does.
Oh, okay. Because you don't look a day over, I would say, 40.
Thank you. So that's where I feel. In fact, when I met people at my 90th, they said, how does it feel to be 90? I said, I have no idea. I feel like I'm 45.
Nice, nice. You grew up in New York City. You graduated from NYU. And after graduating, you became a door-to-door salesman.
Exactly. That's my first job.
That's amazing.
After majoring.
And now you own half of El Paso. Now you are a very successful businessman.
No, it's only a dozen buildings.
Okay, only a dozen buildings. And you're a very successful businessman. So I guess you had to start somewhere, and door-to-door was it for you, huh?
That's the best training in the entire world.
Wow.
And really that. I was selling insecticides
door-to-door
in Harlem.
Oh, my God. You were literally going door-to-door selling poison in Harlem. Yeah. Wow.
They
wow.
needed it badly.
Wow. That is
they
that
had
great.
Muchos cucarachas.
Yeah. Yeah. I bet. A lot of those old pre-war buildings.
That's my first
buildings.
Selling job.
And now you're very successful. You're owner of Coronado Consulting and Coronado Roofing, among other interests here in El Paso. Well, welcome, Don, to Words on a Wire.
Thank you very much. But our main project right now is Power at the
We're
Pass.
Going to get to that. These are just the introductions. So let
yeah,
me introduce.
That's part of the introduction.
That's very good. It's very organic. And Valentin Sandoval is a familiar to Words on a Wire guest. He is a poet and a filmmaker, author of the book of poems South Sun Rises, which won the Southwest Book Award from the Border Regional Library Association. He studied film here at the University of Texas, El Paso, produced a series of award-winning short films such as Instrumento, about a young heroin junkie, as well as Clamor, which was about inmates in Chino Prison, plus the short films Zeke and The Gray. His work has been screened at the Chicago Film Festival, the Santa Fe Film Festival, South by Southwest, and the Dallas Vistas Film Festival. Valentin, welcome back to Words on a Wire.
A pleasure to be back.
So you guys, I was waiting for you, and I saw you guys walking towards the studio, and I thought, now they are really interesting partnership. How did you guys, here you have a young Chicano filmmaker poet, and then here you have a businessman in his 90s.
Oh, my life.
How did you guys come together? How did you create this friendship? Because as I hear you guys talk like family. You guys talk like very close friends.
It was meant to be. We met at a party of Shelley Moselle, the El Paso Magazine. They have a party every week.
Every week?
Yes.
Wow.
And we're very close friends. And we met at a party, and it was right after I started writing my book. Mm-hmm. But I was unhappy with the writer I had, and I was just about to let him go. And then my wife, Bobby, was talking with Valentin, and he told her what she did. She said, I'd like you to meet Don, my husband. He's writing a book, and you might fit in.
Now, the book that you're writing is a biography, and it's called also Power at the Pass, correct?
Exactly.
And it's the story of this young man who went door-to-door selling poison in Harlem to one of the most successful businessmen in Texas.
It started long before that. In fact, my memory, he said it's unbelievable. I can remember back to when I was 3 years old and younger.
Wow. You can remember when you were three. I can't remember when I was 18.
Not everything.
Everything's a blur.
And you're more than 18 now.
And so, Valentin, when you met him at the party, what happened? Did you immediately know that there's a connection, and did you feel it right away?
My wife did, because she knew what I was doing. And he told Bobby that he was a filmmaker and a writer.
Right, but
said, you have to meet Don. She introduced us.
And when she introduced you, what did you think?
You know, I was, I hadn't been to, you know, one of these magazine parties in a bit, and I was there helping a friend meet a producer from a TV station to help her get a job. And I was, you know, I was kind of in a transition whether or not I was going to stay in town or take a 3-month opportunity in Albuquerque or go to Austin to go edit a film. So I wasn't sure if I was going to stay in town. I met Don, and it was an immediate at the point of meeting him. It was at the DoubleTree Hotel downtown. It was we met there, and then we set up an appointment at now what's Powered the Pass, and once we started talking then and there, it started becoming evident that we were going to write. You know, I was going to take this project on.
It didn't take long at all.
Yeah, at that point, it was kismet. It was sort of like a creative thing that happened, and it really is generations, you know, connecting to themselves, because. Right. In 90 and 41, you know, and just a difference in what we do. But at the same time, there was a common ground that transcended time, you know, and it was, from that point on, it became a natural to not only write the book, you know, but to create a documentary company off of that. I tell him, Don, if we're going to interview these friends of yours you grew up with, why don't we record the interviews with the camera? I mean, that's what I do, you know, day in, day out. So it was a natural. At that point, we're like, yeah, okay, let's do a documentary project out of this. And then it mutated into a production company, content creation studio, so, you know.
And how long have you guys been partners? How long have you guys known each other?
About 11 months.
11
no,
months?
No, it's been about 13 months. 14 months. A little bit over a year.
Wow.
And people that have come by, some of the most important businessmen in the city have been up there, a lot of them. And they loved what they saw, every one of them. And they said, we like what we see better than anything we've seen in town. How many years did it take you to build this up?
Well, you know, what I just love is observing you guys whenever I'm around you two. It's just I really love your relationship, how you guys understand each other and how you guys talk to each other. Someday, after you're done with this book about Don, you guys got to write a book or a short film about your relationship, because it really is kind of beautiful.
Yeah.
A lot of it is in the book, Power of the Past.
Oh, so you're in the book.
Yeah. at that point, it transitioned from a ghost write, because he had three other writers on there,
uh-huh.
and to a co-write, you know,
right.
to written by. So.
So how does it work? You're working on a biography, really about your family, and autobiography about you,
right.
called Power at the Pass.
And also the history of the South El Paso.
Oh, nice.
In fact, the way we got the name, like...
Being El Paso, the pass,
well,
the northern pass.
Well, the original name of El Paso was Paso del Norte.
Right.
And we're changing that. It was changed to El Paso... And we'd like to change it to Power of the Pass, because it's no longer a passageway.
Right.
It's a power spot, and we're in the middle of building it together with you.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, that's exactly the case, because before El Paso, even in the morphology of the word El Paso, he passed.
Right.
You know, it's this sort of, you had to go to Austin or to L.A., you know, in between Phoenix to like go and do something cool and then come back.
In other words,
back
and, we weren't you know, important. The other places weren't.
Yeah.
Now,
yeah, you know, it's funny because,
important.
You know, here, practically everyone in our city is bilingual, right?
Right.
Sometimes when you see like an alley or an entryway where you're not supposed to go through, they'll have a sign, Prohibido El Paso, you know, which always captured my attention, because it's almost like Prohibited El Paso, the El Paso that is prohibited. I've always loved that. But yeah, it is literally a city named after a passageway.
Yeah, yeah.
And you guys are talking about that. Tell me about the metaphorical aspects of that name.
Well, here's the thing. With part of the creative direction as a writer with Don's book was in talking to other businessmen that he dealt with throughout the past 50, 60 years here. I think the best way to frame it was to make him an allegory on the American dream, you know, and these people, because at the same time, it's a matter of El Paso never really has been the destination point, you know, as we're talking about.
Right, it's just been the passage.
Yeah, and so how do you make the dream, you know, this the mystique of it, and, you know, the And how do you make it something that's real, not smoking mirrors, in a place like El Paso and Juarez, where Juarez, you know, is what it is. And the book, you see how that happened. You
exactly.
see the people that have made that happen. And mm-hmm. and what we see today, whether you like it or not, you know, it has a history to it, you know, and it has a very layered history to it. And so that was the intention with the book on my end, is like, how to, when talking about these big names, we didn't just want to name drop big names and put them in the book, because they had real relationships with Don. So how is it that you can tell their story while telling his story, and how do you make it to where it's something that you can follow as a reader and maybe even learn from, you know? And it's stories from politicians to lawyers to, I mean, it really is. In some cases, there's a part of one of Don's friends, Charlie Crowder, who was the one who essentially started the Santa Teresa bridge crossing. It was mm-hmm. him that did
it. He owned the water rights.
He had all the water rights in southern
New
Mexico.
That's how we met.
Wow. 17,000 acres of land in southern New Mexico, right? And talking to him, he just was like this really quirky, you know, older man that just had a charisma to him, right? And so he was telling the stories about how he was fighting for the bridge points with the Chihuahuan president and Gary King, the New Mexican president, and how he literally had tipped off the security guards, tipped him off that they were coming after his equipment in Mexico, because he would give them green chili cheeseburgers every other day.
from
New Mexico.
Trying to cross the equipment, millions of dollars worth.
Wow.
And they were stopping him, but he paid him off with chili cheeseburger.
Oh, that's green great. Chili, yeah, from Lotterburger.
would you not do the same? You know?
That's
so,
that's
so it was cool. And you see this like real drama of how a city in the middle of the desert, which is, you know, not the most romantic place or ideal places to start a city, became a city. It became a very big city, you know, and that's what lured me. That's what intrigued me. That's what right. gave me a motivation to move forward with.
So there's a lot of history of El Paso and of this region, which both of you love. I know I could feel it in you. I mean, this is your home. But does it get close to you, Don? Does the story get intimate and share some of your life, some of your
totally.
Fears, some of your experiences?
Totally.
And do you tell
It's part of the that? Book. In fact, it starts with Don Juan Oñate, the first, where they had the first Thanksgiving uh-huh. San Elizario.
And you were there. No, just kidding.
I was there emotionally.
Emotionally, there you go. There, that's a good answer, yeah.
Yeah, it does.
Well, that's all part of it. It goes back to the history.
Right. It goes back with
region.
And also with his mom, you know, like ironically, the life of Don and myself couldn't be any more different, you know, him from the Bronx, you know, sort of the middle class Bronx, and me and my mom coming from Juarez and El Paso and so way different. But the common thread is the mom. You know, my first book is about my mom, mm-hmm. and this book is really about, you know, how Don's mother anchored down the man that he is to this day, including him and his brother, you know. Yeah. And so we repeat that, the lessons that she taught to him. I return to it in the narrative, because that's what kept Don, you know, grounded and moving forward and ambitious, was the love that his mom gave him.
Yeah, so it's your story, and your story is El Paso's story. El Paso's history is filtered through your own personal narrative.
Exactly.
Yeah, exactly.
That's really nice.
And Juarez, too, and that's the thing. Like, a lot of it, too,
definitely.
A lot of it was the fact that I'm in a conversation with one of my friends who's a professor, and him and his doctor friend were talking about how NAFTA started in 1984. Mm-hmm. And I said, no, it did not. I mean, like, formally, there was probably a press release and the rest of the world got to know about NAFTA. But in terms of what it was, it started here in 64 with Jaime Bermudez and Juarez, who was the first one to start the twin plants, him and his uncle, who had Pemex money to motivate and push forward the maquilas.
Wow.
And they recruited Don.
Pemex.
Yeah, wow. They recruited Don back in the 60s to have him work for them. But Don took that idea, and he foresaw the maquila being the future.
Right, right.
And we worked with him. We got to know him, and then eventually we set up our own small operation, manufacturing.
I'm in the studio talking to Valentin Sandoval, poet, filmmaker, writer, and Don Shapiro, local businessman, writer, lover of the arts. And you guys have this book that you're working on called Power at the Pass. Are you almost done?
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. We're pretty much
more than 90%.
We're 95% done. Right. We're pretty much at the point where you know, we're just doing line edits and you know, I'm gonna show it to you and you know, and have you read it and check it out.
But, usually we have guests on the show who have already published the book, and we talk about that. But one of the things that reasons I wanted to get you on the show is because it isn't just a book, and we'll get you back on the show when the book is out, but this is also a project that you are working on together that I think is going to be great for El Paso artists, called also Power at the Pass. Can you tell us a little bit about this company?
First of all, we totally agree with you about having the meeting earlier rather than later, because we're planting seeds.
Right, absolutely.
And you're a part of it. You're part of our book. You're part of everything we're doing.
Oh, well, you know, is there going to be a chapter on how I... No, I'm kidding. Tell us about...
Here's the thing with Power at the Pass. Part of it was, you know, how do you create, you know, familiarity with the name, you know, once it comes out? How do you connect it to a broader ecosystem? And that's what's happening in that the space that, you know, one of Don's buildings, his main building, he, you know, 6,000 square feet of it is upstairs, and it's the building that we're using now as an incubator. You know, in there
tell us what you mean by incubator.
Incubator, from what I understood in terms of
developing raw talent.
Yeah, working at bringing the right people together in the right environment that complement each other and creating content. Everybody that's in the building is either, I got Cynthia Lopez in there, who's an immigration attorney by day, and she's an artist management company by night. So she works with artists to give them a little more acumen and business savvy when it comes to contracts, you know. And then we have a music producer in there, Enoch, who's from the Midwest, but he's been in LA for 12 years, and he came here about a year and a half ago. And he's a legitimate producer. He does stuff for all kind of agencies, and so having him in there creating music for the commercials that I'm producing is exactly what we need. We have Richie Marufo, who's a professor, you know, and he's got Boam's, a barbed wire open mic. So he brings a certain communal, you know, awareness and people that come by the space, and he helps out. He helps out with the book, you know. So, and then we also have different people in there that all lean towards bettering, creating a content and a story and a narrative and art. And it's not just art. We also have a software developer in there that's building his own URL where you can upload podcasts to what he builds. Instead of using SoundCloud or iTunes, you would use his that's specialized for El Paso and Juarez. Oh. So that's what I mean by incubator. That's what Power at the Pass is. It's something that when people go there, I always hear that, you know, oh, this is great that El Paso has this, or it's not like El Paso.
Yeah, I took a tour of it. You guys showed me around the other day, and there's different rooms. There's a room where you can do podcasts. There's a room where you can make films. And then you turn over rooms to particular artists to pretty much do whatever they want in there. And they paint it any way they want. And some of those rooms are crazy. I mean, it's got some really bright colored images all over the place. So basically, you provide space for artists to work. But what else is provided to the artists?
It's really the way I see it. The vision for it was to make it a studio, you know, much in the way that you have the studio lots in L.A., you know, much in the way that Roger Corman, back in my, you know, film school days, the way he constructed, you know, the movie-making process, and to where you make it pragmatic and you create industry off of that. That's the idea, is that you generate industry, and that it's not just a content, it's not just an artist space. It's really a place where it's like a studio where you create content and you create a distribution platform where you provide the outside world with a look into what's happening in El Paso within the creative, you know, field. You bring in intrigue from different people. We're going to Oakland for a conference where we're working with e-commerce and tech developers, where ideally you bring in companies like Adobe. You know, Dr. Natalicio went by to pay a visit to the space because I think she saw an opportunity where this could be like a community resource center for UTEP students. And then you had the business department have a fashion show last week in there as a fundraiser. So you had a bunch of UTEP students doing their thing. It was great to see the activity, to see the range of things that are occurring, and the potential of it as a platform to present it out to the world, that the world can see what's happening in El Paso via Power at the Pass in the studio.
Okay, and it's located downtown?
1931 Myrtle.
1931 Myrtle.
Corner of Eucalyptus.
Okay.
Yeah, it's downtown-ish. It's heading towards Cotton, you know, right before you hit Cotton.
And when an artist, if an artist were interested in reserving some space in Power of the Pass in this building, what would they have to do?
We have our website, you know, powerofthepass.com. We have our Facebook site, you know, Power at the Pass, and we have an Instagram, Power at the Pass. And they could also email us at powerofthepass@gmail.com, powerofthepass@gmail.com.
And we do rent space. yeah. part of where our studio is.
Mm-hmm.
We rent space to artists.
And, like I said, I went to visit there, and there were a couple of vacant offices, and I thought, man, what a great place. Even if you're just a poet and you want a place to work, to write,
absolutely.
It'd be great to do it in that space, because you step out of your office and there's other creative people doing
exactly.
all kinds
yeah.
of stuff.
Yeah, it's contagious.
It really does have that feel of like Brooklyn and the Bronx. And,
right, it does.
You know,
yeah.
In terms of like there's always a form of inspiration and something occurring that kind of gets you outside of your own inner thought process.
And and I think that's kind of what's going on, you know, throughout the larger cities and communities where these artists, creative people, whether they're software developers or visual artists or video game designers, are all just renting space in an office where there's creativity going on. And then what is provided by the owners of that space is probably a place to meet, a place to, you know, refrigerator, a little stove, maybe even some snacks and things
absolutely.
Like that.
Like absolutely. A taste of Greenwich Village
yeah.
in New York, which was one of the big things for creative people.
Or like
it still is.
Yeah, or like the Google offices for cool people.
Yeah, for sure. But it's funny that my friend from Austin that he's been to offices in, IBM, and where they have hundreds and not thousands of people. And what he really loves about El Paso, and he's everywhere. He travels all over to places like this. And what he loves about what we're doing there is that it just feels so organic and natural. And it's not trying to be anything. It's just like it's a mutation of sorts that occurred. And it's just a matter of navigating it now, and keeping that posterity going for it and developing it. That's the vision for it.
One of the projects that you guys have been working on together has to do with the Dreamers. And we all know what the Dreamers are. They're the quote, immigrants. I don't like to call them immigrants because I don't think they are. I think they belong here. But how, the immigrants that came when they were children are now being threatened to be expelled.
Torn away from their families.
Yeah, and you guys are doing a project about that, a film project. Can you talk
about that? What we did was... a work with Beto O'Rourke, Trump
you mean
was
Senator Beto O'Rourke.
Right, Senator. Yeah. Right. Yes,
I've heard of him. Yeah,
yeah, for sure. yeah. He's. We worked together on when Trump was inaugurated. We did a video with him on DACA, and we dealt with it. We talked to a bunch of the students that are dealing with the reality of being sent back,
right.
And so we did a little documentary on that and
where can people see this documentary? It's amazing.
You can see it on the Facebook Beto O'Rourke for Senate Facebook site. It's their product. They hired us to shoot that and produce that, so you can see it there. And we're also working with. We also work with Dr. Chavez, Catch the Next, an organization where she's dealing with a lot of these issues, and so I create content for her. We create content videos for her telling the story of the students and the professors that deal with this and how they're dealing with that. And we also have Cynthia Lopez, the attorney in there, who mm-hmm. she's got a podcast called The Dreamers Podcast.
And does she do that out of your building?
Yeah, yeah.
Because I noticed she's got great podcast equipment
right.
there.
Yeah, she's doing it out of the building, and that's where she's talking about issues that occur here in El Paso and Juarez. And it's a great resource, but it's almost like free consultation, and because she's being very real with some very real issues, and she comes out with some practical advice in terms of what to do. So these are very pragmatic ways. We're telling the story, but Cynthia's also providing like a tangible service for people that could use it.
We seem to be running short on time, so I have one more question that I want to ask each one of you. I'll start with you, Valentin. You're a writer. You're a filmmaker, and now you're really kind of an entrepreneur, a creative entrepreneur in El Paso. What advice would you give to young writers and young creative people to help them assert themselves the way you have?
To fully believe in yourself, and because that took me a while to fix the inner dialogue inside my head to get rid of the imposter syndrome
things. I don't belong here.
Yeah,
I'm a
or like, oh, my God, they're going to catch on to me, or something. And I'm like, nah, this just, set it forth and be bold with it. I mean, be real with it. Be real with yourself as well. You know, be, you know, see what's in front of you, and don't be afraid to be real with yourself, but be bold with it and put it forth, you know, put it forth with passion.
You know, I think that's excellent advice, because I know that there are just so many interpretations of single phenomena, that reality really is your perception, and you have to believe in yourself.
Very
if
true.
You're going to achieve
absolutely,
anything.
Absolutely.
You
absolutely.
Have to choose that reality.
It sounds
than
so
the reality
easy
that tells
and
you
cliche
you're
and common, but yeah, it's no, it's absolutely true. Yeah.
The part that goes with it very well, believe in yourself
right.
and never quit.
Right. Okay. Now, Don, you are the one who has more experience than all of us. You are very successful. You started off as a humble door-to-door salesman
in Harlem.
In Harlem. What advice would you have for young people who want to achieve success at whatever it is that they're
well,
doing?
Well, really, we just said it. Believe in yourself totally and never quit at all. Never quit, no matter what happens. Uh-huh. Anything that negative things happen, ignore them. Go on and be a winner.
Right. It's part of the story that we anchored down in Don's book. I repeat it is that what the advice his mom gave him when before she was passing away is that, you know, imagine yourself driving down the highway, you know, with your hands
18-wheeler.
With your hands behind an 18-wheeler and knowing that nothing on this world can stop you, you know.
Oh, wow.
And part of the way I ended the book was, you know, without giving too much of it away, just the last statement was that I repeat that with Don, and then I say that not even time can stop you.
Wow.
In this case, not even time can stop.
So imagine yourself behind the wheel of some sort of
cosmic
18-wheeler, and you're plowing down the highway, and nothing can stop you.
Nothing.
If a cow gets in your way, well, that's the cow's problem.
Yeah. Or being that it's cosmic, if a meteorite gets in the way.
Before that, you said to me, you have everything going for you.
Right.
Nothing in the world can stop you. Visually, look, think you're driving an 18-wheeler, unstoppable.
I love that, an 18-wheeler. Yeah. I'm going to picture myself behind an 18-wheeler when my next book comes out, and darn it, I'm
going yeah, to right.
put it on the cover.
Yeah, that's a good one. Well, I really enjoyed our conversation. So how can people watch your films? You say you have a website.
Yeah.
What is the website again?
PowerAtThePass.com.
PowerAtThePass.com.
And on that one, we're still reconstructing. I mean, you can go on there right now, and it's solid. But we're adding different components to it. Like, I'm putting the link there to my different work throughout the past 20 years. I've been doing this for 20 years now, you know. So I'm linking up different projects.
And you also have a podcast.
Yes, we have a podcast.
And you're the host?
No. We're going to start one called Power at the Podcast.
Okay.
You know, so we have four podcasts coming out of there, but the one that Don and I I want to have different people that come on there and is Power at the Podcast.
And where can people access the podcast?
It'll all be defaulted to PowerAtThePass.com.
Okay. PowerAtThePass.com.
Every single link will be on there.
I'd like to thank filmmaker and poet Valentin Sandoval and also Don Shapiro. And you guys are always welcome to come by the studio, hang out, and talk about worthwhile projects that help writers, because we're a show about writers.
Absolutely.
And I think what you're
absolutely.
Doing for the community sounds like it's going to be absolutely fantastic. I'm Daniel Chacon. I'd like to thank you for joining us and thank our producer, Lauren Terrazas, as always, for being the most amazing producer in the world. We'll see you next week.